I'm sorry I haven't a clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello, and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week on our visit to the Royal Borough of Kingston-upon-Thames. King Edward the Elder was crowned here. He celebrated a long reign by sailing a flotilla down the Thames to London, and the pageant was recorded in the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle. Some floaty thingies on some wetty stuff with some poshy peoples on board was how the BBC described the Jubilee event this year. 47 times. There is evidence of settlements around Kingston dating back 4,000 years. Primitive axes and knives have been found in several areas, including New Malden, following police raids on pubs last Friday night. Trade in Kingston first took off with the Bronze Age when a tanning shop opened in Wood Street. In 1938, RAF Chessington became a barrage balloon depot, and as a result, the factory there is still the largest producer of helium in Britain. However, the area was recently evacuated following a large gas escape. One resident described it as
the most terrifying thing that's ever happened to us.
An engineering factory here was the subject of Britain's first ever successful industrial injury claim in 1907 by Albert Mitchell. A mechanic who'd fallen into a tank of axle grease, Mr. Mitchell was pulled out alive but didn't survive long enough to enjoy his compensation. His family said he gently slipped away. Let's meet the teams. On my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. And on my right, Tim Brooke-Taylor and Ross Noble. And making a welcome return and eager to enjoy the action, please welcome our scorer, the ever-delightful Samantha. OK, well, before we start, we have to make a short statement. There was a lot of fuss in the news recently about a comedian and his tax liabilities. Well, he wasn't the only one. We feel we should disclose that Tim Brooke-Taylor has avoided paying a massive amount in a perfectly legal tax reduction scheme which involved him opening a bank account in Jersey and earning nothing since 1974. This first round is called Very Slightly Shorter Titles. And today we're looking at song titles. So, teams, your ideas, please, of songs which would have sounded very different if one letter had gone missing from their titles. So, Tim, can you start?
Run, Rabbi, run.
Ross.
Great Balls of Fur.
Graham.
Goodbye, Hello, Brick Road.
The anthem of the campaign for nuclear disarmament, Chitty Chitty Ban Bang.
The only goat herd.
Eggy Sue.
Mouldy Old Doug.
Mr. Robinson.
Take that lock off your face.
Knowing me, owing you.
Rock around the... Oh, no, I can't.
It's about poultry.
Wind beneath my wigs.
I just don't know what to do with my elf.
Whiter shade of ale.
I'm a beaver.
The next round is called One Song to the Tune of Another. And it's where the teams perform musical jokes. But first, a long-running musical joke that goes like this. Colin Sell is at the piano. OK. Well, we'll start with you, Tim, and I'd like you to sing the words of What's New, Pussycat, to the tune of O Sole Mio.
Ah.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa. Pussycat, pussycat, I've got flowers and lots of hours to spend with you, so go and powder. Your cute little pussycat nose. Pussycat, pussycat, I love you, yes I do. You and your pussycat nose. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
So you now, Barry, I'd like you to sing the words of the Wombling song to the tune of We'll Meet Again.
Underground, overground, wombling free, the Wombles of Wimbledon common are we. Making good use of the things that we find, things that the everyday folks leave behind. Uncle Bulgaria, he can remember the days when he wasn't behind the times. With his map of the world, pick up the papers and take them to Tobermory. Wombles are organized, work as a team. Wombles are tidy and wombles are clean.
If you're listening at home, that was the noise of people trying to break down the fire exit. So, Ross, your turn. I'd like you to sing the words of the Laughing Policeman to the tune of Delilah.
I know an old fat policeman who's always on our street. A fat, jolly, red-faced man, he really is a treat. He's too kind for a policeman. Never know, frowns on everybody, says he's the happiest man in town. Ha, ha, ha.
And thank you, audience. That's the first time I've ever heard sarcastic singing along. And finally, Graham, I'd like you to sing the words of the Gummy Bear song to the tune of the chorus of the Hebrew Slaves.
Oh, I'm a gummy bear. Yes, I'm a gummy bear. Oh, I'm a yummy, chummy, funny, lucky gummy bear. I am a jelly bear, 'cause I'm a gummy bear. Oh, I'm a moving, grooving, jamming, singing gummy bear. Gummy, 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 gummy bear. Gummy, gummy. Biting the lollipop, Badoli. Party bread in Badoli party. Party pot.
The next round is all about words, and let's remember that words are the very lifeblood of speech radio programs. What would Radio 4's newly extended Saturday Live be without words? A lot better. The concept of this game is that each team takes it in turn to exchange single random words, which should have no connection. So, Tim and Ross, you can start exchanging your random words, while Barry and Graham, you should carefully monitor their words and challenge with a buzzer to take over play if you detect a connection. So, off you go, Tim and Ross.
Hairnet.
Windoline.
Maritime.
Penguin.
Wig.
Graham has come in.
Yes, the Penguin Book of Wigs.
Yep.
Came out this week. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I have to take your word for that. I haven't seen it in the shops, but...
You will. Give it time.
Yeah, it'll be there. Graham has taken... Do you want to start off, Graham?
Me?
Yeah.
That was my word.
Us. Bacon. Bucolic. Eggs. Artisan. Toast. Egregious.
Pudding.
Ross came in there.
I recently went to Heston Blumenthal's restaurant and he served an egregious pudding.
Can't argue with that. So it's you, Ross, to carry on.
Varnish.
Monastery.
Loom.
Follicle.
Hairnet.
Oh, Graham. Graham has come in.
Yes, the Penguin Book of Wigs,
Wigs. Yep.
Is written by Loom Follicle.
Yes, I've got it.
This is, if nothing else, this is a game of coincidences.
Yeah.
So, yes, you over to you, Graham.
Again?
Yeah.
Oh. That was my word. Mm.
Twice.
Nightly.
Really?
Seldom.
Never.
Chair.
Holistic.
Sofa.
Ah, Ross.
Again. Got to pick the right chair if you've got the old holistics.
That's true, yeah.
That is true. That's probably the reason you got it in the first place.
Yeah.
So, Ross, over to you.
Oh, right.
Yes, that is the disadvantage of challenging.
I was thinking about my tea.
Yeah.
Terrapin.
Lemming.
Meringue.
Girdle.
Graham has come in again.
Oh, yeah, the lemming meringue pie.
The trouble with that lemming meringue pie is you're just about to eat it, dives off the table.
So, Graham, you challenged. It's for you to start again.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, Tim.
Hesitation, repetition.
Right, two. Well, our next round is called Who's Dustbin? One team is provided with a dustbin taken from outside the home of a certain celebrity, and one team must guess the identity of the famous person based on the other team's description of what's been thrown away. So, Tim and Ross, the celebrity dustbin is for you to rummage through, and the identity of its mystery owner is now being displayed to our theatre audience. And for listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Her Majesty the Queen. Her Majesty the Queen.
Off you go, Tim and Ross.
Oh, look, there's lots of unopened presents in here. From Australia, Canada, Uganda, Botswana, Tonga, Seychelles, mention a few.
There's a discarded note here.
Yeah.
It says, what's this here? It says, not happy, got caught for the roof, madness.
Oh, it's a sword. Yes. Seems to have been used a lot. It's got dandruff on it. Oh.
What's this in here? It's a discarded hula hoop and a Grace Jones album.
Really?
That's about it.
Well, look, there are thousands of hats, including this one shaped like a pretzel-shaped toilet seat. It's been cut in two, I see. Mm.
Down here, there's a load of dog licences.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a load of discarded, out-of-date dog licences.
Really?
Yeah, so whoever lives here, they're not corgi registered.
Well, I think that's the lot, isn't it?
And it's a justice. I think we're looking at the dustbin of our dear Queen.
Correct. Yes.
Well, the teams are going to write some letters now in a game where they pretend to be famous people. This is where the teams will recreate letters written between two well-known figures. Barry and Graham, I'd like you to start by composing a letter from Napoleon to King George III, and then Tim and Ross, you'll come up with a reply and so on. However, the challenge is that the letters must be constructed by each panellist alternating one word at a time. So off you go, Barry and Graham.
Your Majesty,
I
am
about
to
invade
your
country
because
I
think
you
are
a
really
pathetic
and
furthermore
naughty
king.
So
I
am
about
to
invade.
How
ever,
let
me
tell
you
that
I
am
poised
to
invade
by
Tuesday.
How
do
you
do?
And
furthermore,
what
are
you
thinking
by
doing
what
you
are
doing?
You
must
be
ready
to
surrender,
or
else
we
will
invade
your
country,
which
will
be
a
triumph
and
a
surprise
for
you
and
your
people,
because
we
will
arrive
about
9
or
10-ish
and
furthermore,
you
must
prepare
to
surrender
finally
and
at
length.
I
will
hope
to
see
you
and
your
people
off
in
a
game
of
volleyball.
See
you
on
Tuesday.
Yours
ever,
Napoleon.
Bonne.
Mwah.
Mwah.
And now the reply from George III, from you, Tim and Ross.
Dear sir, I
am
very,
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 very
simple,
yet
strangely
attractive,
if
You
like
that
sort of thing.
I am very, very interested in coming to see ostriches. As I need a massive breakfast. Bird.
The ostrich.
Massive
bird.
Massive breakfast bird. And a very large piece of brick wall which has some sturdy writing on it. Will you please write on my wall something lovely and exciting, yet strangely
rude,
possibly very descriptive of your private areas, which I intend to invade. Prepare yourself for an ostrich, which I will bring for you on your birthday. And as a ostrich once said to me, Bernie Eccleston, and his ostrich is not very good to compare with Bernie Clifton. Yes! Yours.
Oh, no, you don't. Oh.
Jack steamed open the envelope there.
Well, it's music time again. So, welcome to Just a Minim. Now, this is where the teams attempt to sing well-known songs without hesitation, deviation, or repetition. So, Colin, please shut up. And as the minute waltz fades away, Ross, you can start this one, and the song I'd like you to sing without hesitation, deviation, or repetition is Oh, What a Beautiful Morning from Oklahoma.
There's a bright golden haze on the meadow. There's a shiny yellow.
And Barry has challenged Ross only a few seconds into the song, and Barry, quick as a whippet, has come in with... What was the nature of your challenge,
repetition,
Barry?
Of there's a...
Well, that's, strictly speaking, was a rather spiteful, mean-minded challenge, if I may say so. Young Ross Noble there, a new player of the game who is still wet behind the ears compared to the other players of the game who have had have much drier ears, of course, and and who've all played the game a lot more than he has and so are much better than he is at it. Barry not prepared to give any quarter at all and has taken over. So, Barry, you have 48 seconds on Oh, What a Beautiful Morning from Oklahoma.
Oh, what's it? Second up? What?
Graham's...
Hesitation.
Don't know if I can give you hesitation there. He seemed to be quite quick in there. What? I wonder what the audience think. Audience. Oh, what do you think, audience? It's quite clear that the audience couldn't care less. I'm not on this occasion going to allow that challenge, Graham. So, Barry, still, it's up to you with 46 seconds to go. Barry.
What a beautiful morning. Wow, quel belgeur. I got an awesome feeling. Everything's going my way.
And Barry was singing.
time the whistle went.
Which means, of course, he does get 2 extra points. Nobody challenged him there. I think that you did terribly well there to get away with it, even though there was a little bit of a hesitation as you coughed up some tar onto the table in front of you. Well, it's very nearly the end of the show, but there is just time for the Cat Lovers Film Club. Barry was telling us he's been popping round to look after a neighbour's cat while she's away on holiday, but now there's a big puddle on her kitchen floor. Still, never mind, she'll probably think the cat did it. So, teams, your suggestions, please, of titles of films likely to prove popular with an audience of cat lovers and their pets. Graham, would you like to start?
What's Mew, Pussycat? No, somebody else can start, Jack.
Barry.
Tale of Two Kitties.
So they'll carry on like this, believe me. Tim.
Apocalypse Meow.
Siamese Rider.
Reservoir Moggs.
Northanger Tabby.
The Manx who mew too much.
Sex on a hot tin roof.
The spay who loved me.
Bagpuss at Tiffany's.
Schindler's Litter.
From Cheshire with love.
Bring me the hairball of Alfredo Garcia.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the travelling businessman of time knots the tie of destiny around his neck, and the tie explains she charges extra for that. I notice it's the end of the show, so from the team, Samantha, myself and our audience here in Kingston, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Tim Brooke Taylor and Ross Noble were being given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson, and the producer was John Naismith.